better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
And we are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3,700, 3,700 times we've gotten together now on the Survival Podcast. I'm excited about today's interview. I've got Michael Mercer and one of his business partners, Bo, in the green room right now. We'll bring them in just a minute after we get through our housekeeping for the day. About, I guess, a month and a half ago or 2 months ago when the riots all started up again, I'm looking at these clowns like, stopping vehicles and everything. And I've also said over the years many times, like, you should keep pepper spray in your car, less for these riot type people, but the people that like just block the whole highway. I figure if you just spray paint across the line, they'll move eventually. Pepper spray is highly effective. Anybody's ever used it has, you always end up with a little overspray. So you get an appreciation for how effective it is. The problem is with like a riot, you got to get out of your vehicle and that's not good. Or you have to open your window and that's not good. So I was like, what if you could make a way like, you know, like a Batman product? You push a button and spray goes everywhere. And people were like excited and going, take my money. I'll do it right now. Make me one. Like, there's a lot of work to this, but I bet you somebody's doing it. So I looked for somebody doing it. I found Michael, Bo, and F3 Defense. And I was like, I got to get these guys on the show. We got to start a relationship with these folks because this is an important product. I mean, this is the Survival Podcast. And the first rule of survival is don't wake up dead, right? You have to make it to the next day or you have failed the entire mission. The task is failure, right? You've got to stay alive. And these are dangerous times and dangerous situations. The other thing, though, is we've always said, and stay out of prison while you're at it, right? Like, so, you know, if you're in my state and this happens and God forbid you have to use your carry weapon to defend yourself and you shoot somebody, nothing is probably going to happen to you long term. It's still a tremendous disruption. Plus, you have to live with taking a human life. In some states, with the wrong political, you know, ADA or what have you, they're going to come straight at you and try to put you in prison, even if you're clearly defending yourself. So having a less than lethal option prevents that. Or if it still comes to that, it puts kind of another layer in your defense, as far as I'm concerned, with the legal system of, I tried to use a less than lethal defense system and they still came at me. Because again, this can be really dangerous. Like, I'm not stopping for any of these people. I'm sorry. Like, I remember the LA riots. I'm old enough to remember that. And I remember what happened to, what's his name? Reginald Denny. Like, that's not going to be me. And we don't need this. And if you make things where the cost of fighting the fight is too high for the reward, generally scum goes somewhere else. So we're going to be talking about all of that today. Before we do, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about our sponsors of the day today. Sponsor of the day number one today is Start9 Private Servers. It's a simple thing. Like when you say you keep your data in the cloud, what that means is you keep your data, your pictures, your information, all of that stuff on somebody else's computer. Whether it's Amazon Web3 servers or whatever it is, it's just somebody else's computer. Google Drive, all of it, somebody else's computer, which means somebody else controls your data. Someone else can lock you out of your data. Someone else might, I don't know, be a data breach for your data. And if you think about it, if you're a hacker, where do you want to get into? Jack Spirico's Start9 server to get Jack Spirico's pictures of his cats and his dogs and his ducks? Or do you want to get into a database with millions of people? That's what hackers want. They want to get into the big time target. So when you use military grade encryption to protect your data and still be able to access it from all over the world, and you're that hard a target, but if they do get in, they only get one, and then they got to find you first? Not likely. Plus, we can do things like end-to-end messaging with our own private groups. You can't even find it, let alone get into it without being invited into it. Run your own Bitcoin node, your own Bitcoin Lightning node, act as your own bank, your own merchant account with that. And a ton more. And if you can install apps on a phone, then you can handle Start9 service. And they have great support if you ever need it as well. Next up, let's go a different way. Let's go a little bit low tech with sponsor of the day number two today, the Wealth Steading Podcast with John Pugliano. John is a investment manager and a damn good one. And you can contact him to learn more about that. But as a sponsor, he comes on here as the host of the Wealth Steading Podcast about once a week. He tells you what he's doing with his money and his clients' money. I've known John since 2010. We've worked with him that long. It's 15 years in the world of podcasting. It's crazy to have a relationship that long. We have a lot of those, though, and I think it has a lot to do with you guys in the audience and how loyal you are to our sponsors as well. But check out the Wealth Setting Podcast. He's not just a bean counter, right? John's one of us. He's a prepper. He has the garden. He has the, you know, the year of stored food put away. He's a ham radio operator, former military officer. Check him out today, the Wealth Setting Podcast at wealthsetting.com, where you can learn to grow your wealth like you grow a garden. With that, let me welcome Michael and Bo from F3 Defense. Hey, guys.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
Good, man.
Excellent.
Morning.
Thank you.
Morning,
for having Bo. Us on.
For the audio-only people, the gentleman with the deep voice, that's Bo, and the other two, that's me and Michael, and you should know who I am by now. Bo's got that baritone, like,
I know,
1980s Randy Owen voice, man.
Well, it's 8 o'clock, and it's 8 o'clock in Idaho, so he's got that morning voice.
But only one. It's 11. Morning. It's 11 o'clock.
Okay, it's 11.
All right, so coming out of the gate, Michael, you were in like consulting at one time. You have a background. I'd love you to tell you the people about your background as well. But you know, with that background, you came into consulting, and then you went into this kind of product development field. Why is that the case, and where'd you start?
Yeah, real. I've been a cop since I was 19 years old.
Okay.
I've over 30 years experience in law enforcement. And when you talk about Reginald Denny, I remember Reginald Denny. I remember him getting, you know, grabbed and beaten out of his truck on Normandy. Right. I know exactly the intersection. So I was a cop for Mesa, Arizona, which is the greater Phoenix area. It's on the east side. And I created the Chemical Agent Specialist Program for Mesa PD. This was in effect as a response to the LA riots back in the early 90s. So I was tasked to create a system that would allow patrol officers to disperse large amounts of pepper spray and not have to wait for SWAT to come on board that they could deploy from their squad car. So this is what I've been doing for so long. You know, I can't imagine not being involved with pepper spray and training and chemical agents. I've always been doing that. I retired. I actually joined the Navy after 9/11. Was in the Navy at 37 and did was a master at arms. So I did force protection, base protection, and counterterrorism as a Navy petty officer. And so in 2020, I noticed, you know, we had the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
And we all recall how beautiful that was. Well, I had, I was listening to a radio show locally here in Portland, and I heard a woman who was taking her three children up to Bangor, Maine, to see Air Force One. President Trump was flying in to help one of the companies here, factories here, produce, I don't know, alcohol swabs or whatever it was. It was something for, you know, the pandemic. But and it wasn't political at all. She just wanted her kids to see, you know, Air Force One. She got up into Bangor, Maine, and there was this crazy riot. And she got stuck in her minivan with her three kids at this rotary. And as she's explaining this to the radio host, I'm listening to her, and I live in Maine, and I'm listening to her, and the terror in her voice and her three kids. She was held hostage there for 14 minutes without any hope of, you know, with really only one. It was the hope that somebody would come save her.
Yeah.
They were taking their shirts off. They were very vulgar to the children. The children were very young. And so hearing this, I'm like, gosh darn it, I wish there was another option for her. Because the first two options were really, really bad. You know, 99% of the population won't drive through a crowd. They just won't. They can't imagine ever taking somebody's life. So they, what they do, Jack, is they'll sit there and they'll hope and pray somebody comes and saves them. And those are really, really bad options. To me, the bad option for people in the vehicle. So, when I heard that, I said, there's got to be a way for me to get pepper spray from inside a closed, you know, motor vehicle to the exterior of the motor vehicle without contaminating the person inside. Right. That's the key. That you mentioned this in your pre-show. That's the key, is not getting contaminated. So I met a guy and he owned a shop, and we started scribbling some stuff down, and I came up with this idea about putting a system on the roof of the vehicle with some pepper spray. I had access to pepper spray. I was I used to sell pepper spray for Sabre for years when I did part of my consulting company was part teaching us really situational awareness courses in specific industries. Let's say you're in hospitality, you're going to need certain specific risks are different than if you were a taxi driver or if you were, some type of industry. So pepper spray is an ideal organic alkaloid to get you off the X, to get you to a safe location. I've been sprayed 114 times. I know it works. It works every time I get sprayed. I know it works when Bo got hit in the face. And because he called me up, he said,
"Yeah,
it's got to be."
It was a lot more than it was a lot more than one time. Yeah, it was multiple times in one day was a lot.
Yeah. So Jack, I heard another buddy of mine. He's a Portland PD sergeant during one of the riots up here. Portland happens to be one of those sanctuary cities, and so he got his cruiser surrounded. And with the Soros DAs that we have up here, I knew and he knew and everybody knew that if he tried to, push his way through, that he would have been charged.
Sure.
And I'm watching his in-dash camera, and I'm watching as it's being live, like on X.
Yeah.
And it took 45 minutes for the paddy wagon to come in and try to get him out of there. So again, bad choices. I needed a system where I could get where I can get law enforcement out off the X and civilians off the X. And yeah. this is how I came up with the vehicle defense system. I came up with 50 little puck looking things. And this was during the 2020 November elections and just prior. So it was summer of 2020. And I sold them immediately, like within half hour. I put it up on Facebook and they went off. And so I'm like, I better try to get a patent on this. So I contacted a lawyer, and he did his research. And 3 years later, F3 Defense got a patent for our systems. So we're pretty excited. We're not only United States, but South Africa. So, which was kind of an oddity at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here is my thing. Every time I bring up pepper spray on the show, and I've been doing it again 17 years this summer, I always get somebody in the comments. I know this guy. He was Special Forces, and they used to put pepper spray on their food. And I'm thinking, you know what? I use a lot of freaking hot sauce on my food, too. I don't want it in my lungs, my eyes, or my face. Anybody that's ever just cut hot peppers and forgotten to touch their face knows this stuff is highly effective. And, I'm not going to say that some dude all methed out or something. There's not the exception. But as a general rule, it is very effective. And sometimes it takes a second or two and the person thinks they can fight through it. But all I've ever seen in real world engagements is, okay, that's it. I quit. Like really, really fast, right? Definitely faster than waiting 20, 30 minutes and hoping somebody bails your ass out.
Oh, my God, Jack. You know, the thing about pepper spray, and it's called oleoresin capsaicin. It's an organic alkaloid. It's organic. So I used to be an expert witness at this, and I was sued for $1 million because this woman in like two trailers down failed to evacuate after, we were trying to get this guy calmed. He had a gun.
Okay.
So I came in there, and I coated the whole trailer full of horn. And, but 6 months later, I'm getting sued because she failed to. But, so I told the judge, I said, because the attorney was like, these chemicals, hurt my client's lungs. She'll never be the same, da, 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 da. And I said, time out, Your Honor. This is an organic alkaloid. I said, if you ever taken a hot pepper and rubbed your eye, you've had capsaicin in your eyeball. I said, I put it on my cheeseburgers. You can eat it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't put it in your eyes because it's going to, what it does, Jack, in your audience, what pepper does immediately when it hits your eyes, you cannot do anything about it. Your eyes will slam shut.
Yep.
And when the bad guy can't see you, he can't hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's you literally, and me, and I've been sprayed a lot, and I teach guys in special forces, I teach guys in law enforcement that the only way to power through that, in case you get sprayed yourself, is to literally open your eyes with your fingers and keep them open.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And in that time, you're putting the vehicle in drive and you're getting the heck out of Dodge.
Get out. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about how the F3 defense system actually works. What is the kind of the mechanical arrangement? How does this actually work? Because, like, I was just spitballing any kind of, like, jerry-rigged redneck engineering idea. I was like, you could put the pepper spray in your, you know, your shooty tank for your windshield washer fluid or something. But I also knew, like, this isn't going to work. It was just a brain fart idea, and what does the community think of it on Facebook? Your system actually does a 360-degree spray. How's that all work?
It does. So let me just show you. And Bo is part of my research and development team as well. So the original fin essentially looks like an antenna fin that sits on the roof of your vehicle.
Okay.
It has four holes, four ports going all the way around the top.
Okay.
All right. You then attach a quarter-inch tubing to the inside.
Okay.
Now, we have a different way to mount this now, but essentially this gets attached to a proprietary nozzle in a pepper spray can, which these are called MK9s.
Yeah, and for those that are on the audio only, this looks like something that a scuba diver could stay underwater with for about 10 minutes. This is a big can. This is the spray paint size can that I've talked about using on roadblocker protesters.
Exactly. So I wanted to keep it simple, Jack, because I wanted to keep it simple, and I didn't want a lot of moving parts. So, so essentially, you've got a tube, you've got pepper spray, and you've got a deployment system. The deployment system is mounted to the roof of your vehicle. The tubing is down the headliner, and it attaches to
The can.
The canister.
Okay.
On your headliner. So essentially you've got this sitting at the roof of your headliner in a position like this. So if your audience, whoa, we just had a
camera failure.
Camera. Oh, we just killed.
All right.
Sorry, audience. But essentially if you have this goes onto the roof of the vehicle, boom. And now you've got pepper spray nozzle right there to disperse as much pepper spray as you want. I can show you a quick look at this.
Okay.
This will give you an idea of.
He might spray himself on live stream. Great.
Hey guys, this is you know.
He can play his partners here, so he can take over. He has to go rinse his face off.
Yeah, Bo, you sent me the inert, right?
Sure. Yes, that's it's got the red label on it. The inert has red label.
That's got a blue label.
All right. So if your audience may or may not be able to see. All right, ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Oh, crap. Okay.
I can't believe you're doing that in your house.
I would have advised you not to do that if this was a
Please, right. If that is
not. I'm a bad friend. I wouldn't have. I'd be like, yeah, do it.
Do it.
There's no way, right? Oh, back in the old days with the cops, when we first got OC, we'd put a little bit on the heater.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. So that was something that when I was bringing up the concept, people were saying, like, if you do that, make sure you close the recirculate on your AC unit. And that's probably good advice if you have to deploy this.
And I would like to touch base on the way that it mounts, the way the fin mounts on the roof.
Okay.
Is that we have now flared the bottom out, so it's got a 3/8 inch lip, a total of 1/4 inch coming from the outside, but it has a 3M very high bond adhesive that it creates a permanent bond between the fin and the vehicle's roof. And so it is waterproof. It is not going to come off. It is, once you set it down and it has 24 hours to essentially get down into all of the micro pores and cracks of each surface, it is there permanently. So it's not something that you're just going to be able to grab off of the vehicle if there's protesters trying to reach for it. I have applied it to both materials, both metal and plastic at the same time. And you're either going to break the plastic or bend the metal before you're going to get the adhesive to detach.
Very, very cool. And it looks to me like the canister itself is a pretty easy, quick swap out. So if you were in a totally undangered area and had children with handy hands, you could just remove it until you felt that you needed to use it again.
You can. And the other benefit to that is that once you, if you are in a questionable situation and you have discharged it, you're able to, if you have to get out of it, if they've disabled your vehicle, say they flattened one of your tires, you'd be able to quickly detach that. You have 16 ounces of pepper spray in there. Each discharge, you discharge for probably 3 to 4 seconds, and you still have another 3 to 4 shots to go out. So you can detach it quickly, remove yourself from the situation by carrying that with you outside the vehicle. That fogging pepper spray will shoot out 10, 15 feet. And that's the immediate hit area, but it is atomizing into the environment where it's going to cover. You're going to get hit.
That's where you want to go, Moses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're a bat.
Yeah.
Everybody's gangster until the canister comes out, right?
No.
Absolutely.
In all seriousness, like, you guys really have the only vehicle mounted system like this, right? Like, I haven't seen this anywhere. It seems like a no-brainer idea. You're being mobbed. Make the mob go away. Don't get out of the vehicle. Don't use a lethal form of defense. If you don't want to get pepper spray, stop trying to get in my car. And when they move out enough, then you roll through and go on about your life. But you guys are the only ones that have done it.
Yeah, I would say, in like you brought up, Jack, is that the use of a non-lethal in the first instance of trying to escape from the situation validates your use of a lethal weapon further down the road if required.
Yeah,
absolutely. You got to use that continuum. That use of force continuum helps you out even as a civilian if you have that option.
So on that note, like, you really have the product built for, I would say, three primary groups: civilians, and by that I just mean not law enforcement, driving a car, a pickup truck, an SUV, law enforcement, and then truckers. So the guys in the big rigs, it's a little bit different of a thing. Can you kind of talk about how each one of those market segments maybe would utilize this product a little bit differently?
Yeah, I'm gonna have Bo talk about the RV market. Because he really redesigned the RV.
Okay, so I'm going to add that. Okay, for four, RVs, big trucks, everyday civilians, law enforcement.
Yeah, go ahead with the RV. I'd really love to show you about the RV.
Yeah, sure. The RV Defend, it's thought through to the point of being able to discharge pepper spray directly over top of the door. If you look to Mike's left, he's got a bit of an image of it there. It's a little dark to see, but you can see a spray pattern coming down. There's a nozzle right above the door that installs 3 to 4 inches above the door. If you've got a two-door, fifth wheel or pull behind, you're able to put a unit at both doors. It was originally designed to be teed off and go to both doors, but our new design is that you'll have a canister at each door. It just allows for a more effective discharge. But it's a very simple installation where you're basically just drilling a hole from the outside to the in, drawing your quarter inch tubing through that hole. Usually the wall is about 2 inches thick. Unless you're in a coach or something, then they can get a little thicker to that 5.5 inches. But either way, the system is set up for any coach. I am working on a design for the Class C or the Super C, which has the passenger and driver door, which will have a system that sprays down over each of those doors, then one for your house door as well. But it allows you to protect your doors. I lived in a coach for a year marketing a software that we created for the trucking industry. And it, I had a firearm in basically every, you know, cabinet. It was just because I liked to go shoot wherever we were. And I still felt very vulnerable because the reality is that when you are out and about, whether you're at a KOA or a nice, you know, RV park, you're still vulnerable because using a firearm is not the most ideal protection because you are responsible for every single round that you discharge. You have to, one, know the state's laws that you're traveling through, the local laws or ordinances that you have to deal with. Then, in addition to, if somebody is trying to break into your door, which we all know RV doors and coach doors are pretty thin, probably pretty easy to pry open and or pick, for that matter. So you're up against either waiting for them to come in and defend your domain at that point, depending on what the state law is. If it's a castle, if it's a, you know, stand your ground, if it's a, you know, you have to pull back, whatever the situation might be. But if you're able to stop the threat before it gets the opportunity to open that door, you've disabled their ability to cause you any further legal issues. You know, if you have to shoot a 9mm or a 45 caliber, something that, you know, what I primarily carried was going to be a 45 long Colt, right? Everybody's probably familiar with the Judge, and you can put that 410, birdshot in there. And that was the most real ideal situation when you're in a tight area with all these other campers and you hope that those BBs don't enter into somebody else's camper that's legitimately within 10 feet of your door. You know, and then you're also traveling from, you know, between situations where you're staying at a Walmart parking lot, Cracker Barrel parking lot, in between all of the destinations. And let's be honest, usually those places are fairly sketch. And people that are in those larger shopping areas late at night are usually up to no good. So it's a great system for first line of defense. A lot of people that are living in these things part-time, full-time, so many more people are doing it today because they're able to work remotely, you know, so having the ability to protect your domain without having to, you know, use a firearm in the beginning is everything to your survival.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I also don't want to live with killing someone that I didn't have to.
Right.
I just don't want to live with that. I mean, there's people that I don't, you know, if I caught somebody doing something to a kid or something, when I was laying on my deathbed 30, 40 years later and they said, do you regret anything? I'm sure there's some things, but that wouldn't come to mind. But, you know, something like a riot and the person that ends up getting shot, you know, kind of maybe is caught up in it. And then, like you said, you're responsible for everything that happens from that point of discharge, including passing through another individual and then going into them. I mean, and that's... how do you control that in a mob? And then the other side is how effective is that in a mob? If the mob really goes ape, one guy with a gun, you know, if there's 50 people trying to get you, if people are willing to get shot, they're going to get you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. The just so we don't run out of time, I want to switch real quick to the law enforcement. Back in January, it was a year and a half ago, Milwaukee gave me a call and said they wanted me to, wanted to work together, because they were, you know, they had the, Republican National Convention coming in there in July. So I was tasked to develop a large scale system. This is what I came up for Milwaukee. This sits on the roof of your vehicle and it disperses pepper spray with a pump, gallons of OC. So essentially you can pump out gallons and gallons of OC, you know, 30, 40 feet, from, you know, front and back. And this covers about 280 degrees. And it's a quick release. So very effective. They had it on their, armored, vehicles during the convention. So that along with the fin, are my two law enforcement products that were going into law enforcement. We have the fin on, gosh, we have vehicles up here in Maine. We have law enforcement reps down in California, Arizona, all through the Southwest now. So those are the two systems for law enforcement. Plus, we have OC. We have our own our own OC and CS product. So we can all our OC CS now. So we have.
So what I'm getting at though, is there a product set that is for civilians and one that might be also for law enforcement and civilians, or maybe the other way around? I'm trying to, but like the bigger system is law enforcement only, and then the fin is dual purpose.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. The fin will be dual purpose. The Lancer, which is the 360 that you just saw, is a bit larger, and it's for law enforcement, and that'll be law enforcement sales only. You won't be able to buy that as a civilian. I mean,
sure. it's just a different mix of pepper spray, CS gas. Yeah.
The dispersal product itself as well. Like there's a law enforcement grade and a civilian grade of that.
Oh yeah. This has got CS in it, and yeah, you wouldn't be able to use CS in this type of civilian use.
I can personally attest to how bad CS sucks.
Yeah. Were you in the service, Jack?
Yeah. I got to go and get the full experience. I don't think all branches do, but the Marine Corps and the Army definitely do, right?
The Navy does. The Navy does. We have to fight fires. But anyways, we had this kind of goes on the same system as the RV Defend. Very much in the beginning, 5 years ago, I came up with a trucking system called the trucking defense system that we have. And primarily because I saw the risk. Number one, women truck drivers are at huge risks out there. There is not enough parking. They have to get off the road after 10 hours. They have no idea where they may stop. So very much the truck stop is a system where they can feel safe wherever they get off, right? It's a peace of mind. And when I introduced this to Bo, and Bo used to be in the trucking industry, he's like, yeah, this is a definite need in trucking. And even if you look at hijackings down in Mexico, and then that's a whole different use. But if we're just talking personal protection for drivers, there's no better system for it.
Gotcha, man. When we look at this, I want to know, I think we kind of hit on this already, but there's definitely been some trends going on in society that probably pushed this product development. And could you talk about that a little bit?
I have seen the violence. I grew up in Southern California, right? We remember the Watts riots?
Yeah.
And then we had the LA riots. And then it seems like society is getting more and more dangerous. It seems like there are less and less, and it's just not, it seems, it's true. There are less and less consequences for people's behaviors. So therefore, people are getting away with more and more and being very, very brazen in how they're doing it. There's more, brass tacks, brass cajones now than there has been because of that lack of consequence. So I think the general public is at a heightened risk more today than we've ever been, Jack.
Yeah, and I think even when they make a big deal out of, hey, we arrested 30 of these guys, or they're out in hours.
They let them go.
And nothing actually happens to them. They go right back into protesting.
Right. And then you've got paid protesters now. You've got Antifa that are paid. You've got a lot of paid protesters that we didn't have back in the day. When you protested, you protested. You didn't have, 400 tents, all the same tents lined up down the street, and everybody carrying frozen water bottles to throw at the cops. We didn't have that stuff.
No. And I mean, we even have cell phone data that shows like there's these large clusters of people. They're at all the protests all over the country. Right. They're in the protest in Atlanta, Georgia, 1 week, and they're in a protest in L.A. the next week, in Portland the next week, in Philadelphia the next week. Like, there is clearly a this is not protesting.
No.
It's coordinated disruption funded by big dark money. I don't try to get overtly political myself, but that's what's going on. And you have to The only way you don't see that right now is you've chosen not to. It's not even stupidity. It's willful ignorance. If your IQ's under 75, I'll give you just don't know. If you have a 76 plus, which is a pretty low bar, you've chosen not to know what's going on.
I like the idea of, and this product really does this, it layers your protection. And we talked about it right from the beginning, is that even in truck drivers, truckers are like, and they told me, like, you know, there's concealed carry. We can't go from one state to the next state, you know, with a firearm as a trucker. And, you know, and some of them are felons, right? You know, some of the truck drivers are felons. So they're like, Mike, I can't carry a gun. So this is the perfect thing to carry because they were doing like tire thumpers. You know, that was their way.
Yeah. That's old school, but it's been around. It's a tire belly. Sir, I noticed that you have a pickup truck. Well, I tow trailers from time to time, and they have dualies.
That's right. So that's like, right.
I mean, there is a lot of things that tell us that we need a product like this that have happened. And I mean, for the truck driver and the RVer, it's a different animal because you're asleep at the same time you're vulnerable, and you only have so much time to respond. And it's also dark, and so, you know, maybe it was just some buddy in the wrong place and they were trying to get into their buddy's trailer or something, and I'd rather spray them than shoot them. You know, I feel bad. I had a situation happen way back. I'm talking like 2010. We had a vacation home up in Arkansas, and I had a neighbor that was kind of dumb and let this dog, this pit mix, run around. And this dog was kind of dangerous. And one day we're walking down the road, just taking a walk, and the dog came up to us, and I popped him with like a quarter second spurt. I didn't even hit him. I shot it right in front of his. She was like down on the ground, and that's when they're going to do something. And I just hit the ground in front of her, and she just turned tail and hauled ass. And I always told people, I felt a lot better telling that dumbass, hey, I pepper sprayed your dog, than, dude, here's your dog that I had to shoot. Yeah. Because she wasn't at a point that I would have shot her, but if she would have went from where she was, all right, I'm back in the dark. had a power failure, but we'll forward, and I should be able to make this work with redundant systems. What do you know?
Look at that. For you, I thought it was me. We just had a lightning strike, so I thought it was me.
No, I don't know what's going on. We don't have anything going on today either. This shouldn't be a problem today, but it is. So anyway, I had my notes up on the other screen, so yeah, now I have to catch back up. How did your law enforcement experience play into this? I mean, you've kind of mentioned that a couple times. This is a quick activation while under pressure thing. I mean, I imagine it probably has something to do with the understanding of like defaulting to your lowest level of training, because law enforcement trains for things like this. A civilian in this situation, like you say, could be a soccer mom or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it overly complicated. This had to be simple, that, you know, you hit a button, it's readily available, it's easy to use. I didn't want anything complicated, even for cops. I know cops. I am a cop, and we need simple stuff. We need stuff that's not going to break. We don't need a whole bunch of, you know, whistles and things like that. We just need something that works. So I think just keeping it simple, right? KISS method, and knowing, number one, that if we can get pepper spray, you know, 6 to 8 feet around your vehicle, that's going to save your life. And I think that I have a better understanding of pepper spray than, you know, 95% of the world does, because I've been dealing with it for a long, long time. And normal people still think it's a chemical, still think it's, you know, something like a tear gas, which, you know, it is not. You know, it is something that is organically grown. It's the oils from a pepper, if I can make it so simple.
So you guys did, though, as you mentioned, start formulating your own disbursement product. And for the law enforcement, you do have the OC, CS gas, right? And then you have pepper spray for civilians. Why did you, like, stop using an aftermarket propellant and kind of develop your own? Does it maybe function better with your system because it's designed for it, or...?
I'm going to let Bo in a minute, and I'm going to jump on this quick. We had problems with trying to keep up with our demand. number one. And Bo will talk on that. There are three types, there are three percentages for the concentration of OC, which is major capsaicinoids in pepper spray. So dog spray, you by law, U.S. law, can only have 1.33% major capsaicinoids inside that. So you can have 1% for dog, 1.33% for people, and 2% for bear.
Okay.
So and that's for civilian use. So what we're doing is we're going with the OC, which is 2% on the law enforcement, and we're adding CS to it, which is not only gives you a big kick in the face, but it's going to give you a big kick in the chest too.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have a sinus problem, you won't for a couple of days.
And but go,
it all comes out, brother.
Oh man, I tell people that's right. Yeah, everything in your sinuses is going to come right out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk a little bit about some of the formulations and why we came up with this?
Yeah, you know, so what we also add is a UV dye that allows for the identification of any assailants that you may encounter in the situation, whether it's, you know, an attempted break-in on your camper, on your domain, or if it's somebody that's trying to carjack you in a big city, whatever it might be, it allows for a much easier identification of person or persons that were involved in that situation. Mm-hmm. So it's made it a lot easier for us to develop our own and utilize that. There's other reasons, because we're going into many other countries, that we require we need to have control over the mixes that we have, because a lot of different countries have different requirements.
Gotcha. So you could sell a system into some other country, and then that person might, if they procured their own thing and you didn't have something available, some kind of liability bullshit trap could come up there that you enabled this illegal activity, where if you're selling something that meets the requirements for the jurisdiction with it, then you did your part and it's all on the person who swapped it out.
That's correct. Yeah.
And just to give you, for instance, Jack, people spray in Canada, the 1.33% heat is illegal in Canada. You cannot carry that in Canadian. But you can carry
not
the
illegal in Canada.
You can carry the 2%, Jack. So you can carry bear spray.
Yeah.
But you can't carry people spray.
That's crazy.
So we attach our bear spray to our RV Defend for our Canadian campers, hikers, outdoors people. That way you get an even hotter pepper spray. But you're going to use it for grizzly bears, you know?
Yeah. He looked like a bear.
Well, you're never going to open your door to identify the bear. You heard scratching. That's all I know.
I heard scratching and I thought it was a bear. That's like they used to tell us about, like, in the Army, they tell us it's illegal to use the 50 cal for engagement with personnel. It's for equipment, like buttons and belt buckles and helmets and LBE gear. Yeah, I mean, there's always a workaround, right? In all seriousness, again, I'm still discombobulated from losing the other screen. Where does this fit kind of in the bigger picture of de-escalation? We've kind of hit on that layered defense thing, but maybe say a little bit more about that, because I like that approach. I don't like to have to go to the extreme. And brother, if my life is in danger, if there's a possibility I'm not going home to my wife, then my life's more valuable than yours. I just prefer to have options.
And that's right. And if you essentially every law in the United States, pepper spray is legal in all 50 states. It just depends on the quantity. Some states really mess you up, like Massachusetts and New York and California. They really kind of jack around with the quantities for you. But I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second. I lost it. Help me out, Jack. What's your question?
What I'm saying is kind of the larger, bigger picture of de-escalation. How does this fit in?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so if you're in a car and somebody is coming at you, most state laws says that if you feel that you are in danger, then you can use this to protect yourself. That's all you have to do is articulate that.
Okay.
And so pepper spray is a very, very low level of right engagement or defense. All you have to do is feel threatened. So officer comes to you, you can articulate, I felt threatened, my son felt threatened, my wife felt threatened, you or a third party felt threatened, you could deploy pepper spray.
And to make clear, it's not my life felt threatened. You just felt threatened. Somebody could be threatening your bodily, your body, your bodily injury, not death. And you can use it.
Right.
And if you, in this case, you're inside a vehicle with this product. So once somebody's trying to get in my vehicle, I feel threatened.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or somebody will not let me pass and I'm being surrounded. I feel threatened. And I'm not, I've said a few things today are a little bit, benevolent humor or whatever. I'm not doing that now. I legitimately feel that way. If you think you're pulling me out of my car, you have a whole can of whoop ass coming at you. In this case, a unique kind of can, but like that's not happening. When people say, well, you value yourself more than others. Yes. Yes, I do. Cause I'm not the one committing the offense here. Somebody else is. My wife did say something to me like, how do you make sure people don't drive around and just spray people with it? I'm like, how do you make sure people don't run around and shoot people with a gun?
That's right.
If somebody wanted to do this maliciously, they would come up with a way to pull it off.
Sure.
And they're not look as slick and be as professional as yours, but if you wanted to drive around and just spray shit, you could. So I don't really see anything to that.
It's a misdemeanor to misuse it. It's a felony to use it on law enforcement. Okay. So, if you have law enforcement approaching your vehicle and you touch that thing and they get hit, you got a felony on your hands. If you're just driving around and spraying it because you're driving by a restaurant and they're sitting outside, you're going to get a high-end misdemeanor.
I'm going to say that probably the another layer that would fit in this then is a good dash cam system. So that would probably be a great idea because when you say, why did you use it? Because here's a video
absolutely.
Of people like crowding my vehicle and like, that's why I used it. I mean, in the state of Texas, that cop's going to look at that and go, have a nice day, Mr. Spearco. I mean, I've seen it. I was downtown one time and this girl was being accosted by like an ex-boyfriend or something. And she whipped a can out of her purse and sprayed it. And the cops came right away. And I'm like, I'm going to hang out. Cause if anybody asks, I'm going to, and basically, I didn't have to say anything. No witnesses did. The guy said, yeah, I was in her face talking to her. I just wanted to talk. He said, did she tell you to leave? And she goes, yeah. He goes, seems to me like you should have left. And he's like, are you going to take that from her? And he goes, no. You might go bother her again. Maybe you didn't learn your lesson yet. And he didn't end up citing anybody. He's like, I don't want to have to deal with any more shit today. Is that? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm going to leave. And he goes, I'd advise you to do that. And then he talked to the girl, and I imagine probably told her something about restraining orders or whatever. But I was on my way after that. But it was that cut and dry. Like, you jumped up in her – well, sorry. Now, if she would have shot him, even if it was justified, that would not have ended in a 10-minute conversation with a cop.
Oh, no. And that's such a – deadly force is such a high bar to really – it's a high standard. You know, you're
going to be –
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, according to my training with lethal force is that you don't just get to take a firearm out and shoot them in the leg so that you can get away. If you're taking a firearm to use it, you have to shoot them to kill because they are coming at you. They are going to terminate your life and you have to take their life before they take yours. And that's the only reason that you're allowed to really take a firearm out in most states. That certainly is not in Florida or some other states that are very lackadaisical in relevance to the reason that you can protect yourself. But most states, you have to have your life has to be in danger. They're going to take your life, so you had to take theirs.
That's right. In Texas, even though we're thought of as being kind of a very pro-gun, standing ground state, the standard is literally you have to feel that your life or the life of another party was threatened in some way, shape, or form. And if you don't have that, it's not a good position to be in, even in Texas. So go to California, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, it's really bad. Like, you, and again, I don't want to live with it, unless I have no choice.
Right.
That's right. It's just another tool in your toolbox. It really is. You know, a lot of people have, you know, you carry a knife, you have a dog, you know, people travel with a dog. That's a layer of protection, you know. Mm-hmm. Good lighting is really good layer of protection, you know, around your RV, or sometimes you can't have great lighting, but you should have some lighting around your RV, around your truck. So those are some of the things that you can do to kind of keep yourself protected. And situational awareness, being aware of your surroundings, is number one.
Yeah, now you had some real background in all this. You put it together, but this kind of hit, you mentioned in the beginning, just like when you put together some random prototypes, they sold instantly. And you've had to scale this business. Can either one of you talk about what it took to scale up to be able to produce at a level with like a national recognition level thing?
I don't know who wants to take this, me or Bo, but I'll tell you. We went through some growing pains in the last 5 years, and I brought Bo on about a year ago, and he has really brought it around. I'm just an old cop, you know, to be honest with you. I know what I know, and and to bring Bo in, it really brought it to a national and international level. So I did a lot of the marketing myself. I got on news shows. I had a podcast, so I did a lot of the groundwork foundationally. But I could never really get it to that next level. So, a couple of investors, some motivated people, and here we are today, with worldwide distribution.
I think you might be frozen.
Did you hear me at all?
I did. Yeah, I think Jack's just experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties on his end due to power outage. There you are.
There he is.
It's the power outage. The computer decided to reconnect to the primary network instead of my tether.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's what I figured it was. Yeah.
Yeah, Bo, do you want to say some things about the scaling requirements and what you guys had to do for that?
Yeah, sure. The scaling requirements have been quite tedious, especially on a small team. Right. We're lifting this up from the ground to an international level, and trying to find the material, sourcing all of the material to manufacture this so that we have enough volume to be able to feed everybody, the units that is necessary to cover the area that we're marketing to. So it has been, a long road. It has been a lot of emails and phone calls and excruciating conversations, just digging in. But I'm really excited about where we are right now. Everything seems very fluid in us being able to satisfy the volume of orders that will come in. And, you know, it's just a lot of hard work, a lot of time.
Michael, did your background with chemical agents have an impact here on your decision of like what to use and how to use it? Because it seems like that was a big part of what you did in law enforcement.
It was, yeah. I think that understanding OC, pepper spray, and doing my best, for 40 years, almost 50, I'm telling my age, 40 years, I've been trying to teach people the benefits of pepper spray, you know, and how it can help you and keep you safe. So I think this was kind of a no-brainer. It just was very simple for me just to transition into, all right, what am I going to do to help keep people safe? I'm always thinking about things. I'm kind of an inventor in my head. I'm always trying to come up with something. And, God blessed me with this idea, he's helped me along the way. That's for sure. You know, my law enforcement background is one thing. I think my passion to help people is what it really is, in combination with my technical knowledge on keeping people safe. That's pretty much it.
Can I bring up a point of somebody in the comments just made? It's a lot like insurance. You never know when you may need it, right? That's the same premise behind carrying a concealed firearm. It's really the shield that you hope you never have to use. But in real world situations, having pepper spray is obviously going to the percentage of necessary use or situational use is much greater than having to pull out a concealed firearm, right? So having one of these units on your vehicle and having that shield that allows you to protect yourself and your family is an absolute greater percentage than carrying a concealed firearm.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I can tell you that I've never had to pull a gun on anybody, but there's a time that I could have used a product like this many years ago. I'm talking like 1994, 95, somewhere in that range. And what it was, I was in a downtown area in a company vehicle, no air conditioning, Dallas, summer, so the windows are down. And, you know, you have some bad parts of town that we had to work in, and you got the whole, they're going to wash your windows for you, which they have their nasty bottle of water, and they're throwing it. And I turn the windshield wipers on, like, man, I don't want that. And this dude tries to climb in the window of the truck, probably high on something. And because it was a work truck, I had a mag light in between the seat and the console, and I cracked him. I mean, bad crack. And he went to the ground, and I drove away and never heard a word about it. If I had hit him instead of the face and the temple or something, though, I may have ended up with cops at my door for killing the guy or putting him in the hospital.
That's right.
Without this system, it would have been much better. The job would not have allowed me to do it, but that would have been the end of that.
Sure.
I mean, like I said, this stuff's highly effective. Sometimes your person gets hit with it. There is that little pause where they think they can take it, but it overwhelms you so fast. And I mean, I remember I got my wife one for her keychain, a pepper spray. It was kind of really cool the way it was designed. The company you mentioned earlier that you worked with, I think that's who made it. Yes, yeah, I think that's who made it. But she ended up dropping it and got like just a little drop in her face, and she was like sneezing blood, right? So like this is the whole point is it's not fun.
Right?
It's not fun to get hit with it.
No.
And the people that tried to sue you, what a pile of crap. I mean, literally, there's law enforcement training where you get sprayed with it to learn to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she'll never be the same. Well, she'll respect pepper spray evacuation orders.
Well, you know what? Hey, Jack, it had nothing to do with the three packs of smokes that she smoked every day. You know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I understand this because also it's about the same time that I'm talking about this stuff going on with the windshield washer dude. We used to be in outside plant construction back then, and we had a gas line, and we're going through telling people they need to evacuate, and they're cussing us out and telling us, you know, F you and you stupid F, I don't have to leave my house. I'm like, okay, you know, there's a 4-inch main blowing natural gas in your backyard, but you do what you want to do, Sparky.
Right.
But I wouldn't smoke. I wouldn't smoke if I were you. You know, you try to explain things like that. It feels like, I'm not doing this to be a dick. I'm telling you there's a danger here. And,
oh, man.
You know, and that level of thinking is why we need a way to disperse, you know, pepper spray from the roof of the car. Because if you were a common sense person, you wouldn't be doing any of these stuff these people are doing. You would not be attacking a lady with her two daughters because you're mad at the president.
That's right.
I don't care what the president did. I really don't. I don't care if he really was Hitler incarnate. You know, I don't believe that, but I wouldn't care if he was. That nothing like that makes it make sense for you to attack a woman with kids. And damn if that's not who they tend to attack. They generally don't come like to a vehicle with somebody like me driving it. You look at me and you think, yeah, he's probably going to shoot me.
Right.
But they like to attack soccer moms and stuff because these are bullies. In the end, and they have bully behavior.
And they're soft targets, Jack, right?
Yep.
Bad guys are going to look at targets. And if they see soccer mom's a soft target. So let's get soccer mom a fin on their van, and she's not a soft target anymore.
Yep. Yep. She might still look like one, but you might. Yeah. This is like the FAFO of vehicle accessories. Right?
That's right.
Like, the t-shirt, the fin, FAFO, right? Like stuff like that. I'm a marketer by trade, man. I'll help you where I can. And I think the other thing I like about this is when people ask me about guns and what gun do I buy next or whatever, and, you know, they start getting all, like, Timmy triggers and stuff. It's like, bro, how much training do you have? Because when you're asking me what gun do I get next, my question for you is, when's the last time you took training?
Yes.
And maybe invest that money this year instead of another gun into a tactical handgun or practical carbine course or something like that, and learn more about your trade. This product does not look like it requires a great deal of training to be highly effective.
Not at all. And cops, like I said, we do have to go through training.
Yeah.
And as a civilian, you know, you go to my website, watch the video. You know, if you have questions, you can call me, call Bo. But literally, if you feel threatened, you hit the button, you press the button, and you're safe. And pepper spray's deployed. It's that simple. There's no training. You know, if you do get a little pepper spray in the eye, you know you're safe. You can go to the nearest safe area and wash your face.
Yeah.
You know, that's essentially what you got to do. Get to the police station or get somewhere to wash your face.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to tell people that all the time. Like, it sucks to get hit with it, but it's not going to kill you. That's the whole point. And there's a point where I don't believe it's going to get better. It will get better. It will get worse before it gets better. Like, it builds and then it begins to ebb out, and it takes a while. Which is
it dies off. The worst of it dies off in about, like, 15 minutes, depending on how badly you get hit. If you really got saturated, it could take, half hour to an hour. But it is going to reactivate when you go to wash it off or you go to take a shower. It's a very gnarly feeling when you go to wash it off.
Yeah. Somebody speaks from experience. All right. So I've been doing this with my guests lately, and we've been using AI quite a bit around here. So what I do whenever I'm prepping for an interview, I ask AI to produce for me two questions that are serious and one that's just for fun. I haven't figured out what to call the segment yet. It's like, what does AI want to ask? Ask AI would be cool, but that's backwards. So I don't know. You guys in the audience, I need to know what to call this segment. But here you go. You kind of talked about this a little bit, but how does F3 Defense navigate legal differences across the states?
Legally, like I said, every state has local ordinances, local restrictions. I'm not saying every state. Maybe I think there's 6 or 7 states that have, like, local restrictions.
Okay.
Other than that, pepper spray is legal in all 50 states. So the ramifications here are that I look at this use of, number one, your protection, personal protection, the protection of a third party, the protection of a private property, and it limits any type of litigation. So pepper spray, I look at, actually limits litigation because you're not going up to that higher level of force. You're staying at a very reasonable level of force to escape that situation. So no, that's my answer to that. I think that you can articulate.
Can I expand on that?
Yeah.
So I think largely the two states that we're not allowed to ship into, you're not allowed to buy on the internet is going to be Massachusetts and New York. Those two states alone require in-state purchases by an FFL, right? So you have to have a federal firearms license to even be able to sell, the pepper spray product.
Okay.
Then there is state law that disallows for people in those states to buy it off of the internet. So you can't even ship it in. We can't ship it in there.
Okay.
Beyond that, it is going to be your discretion. We ask that you make sure you know your laws. We are not going to discriminate. You could be, bringing it in and moving out or going whatever. It is up to you to understand your local laws, and that's really where it's at.
Brothers in Pennsylvania, and you drove in from New York and got it, because New York has stupid laws. And when you said New York, I had this flashback to being a kid in 1970s and early 80s, and I used to get all the hunting magazines and all. There's these ads in the back for these pellet guns, right? And I finally get my dad to let me buy one of these, like, $4.97 pellet guns. And it was like crappy for a toy. It shot these little orange plastic pellets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally could have went down to Toys R Us as a kid and bought one of these. and it had not available for shipping to New York and Massachusetts.
Oh my goodness.
And I never asked my dad why when I wanted to buy it. But when I finally got one and showed it, because I told you that was a piece of shit, you know. And like, I'm like, well, why can't you buy it in New York? He goes, because you can't buy anything in New York. That was his answer. And that's probably about 1981.
Hasn't changed.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's only gotten worse.
Yeah, and that's gotten worse.
Because we have people that can't buy Berkey filters because of some lawsuit shit in California, and they literally have shit to, like, relatives in Nevada or whatever. But you do need to think about, like, what's the legal implication of that, right? And then, you know, but I also am back to this, like, I'd rather be charged with a misdemeanor for spraying people around my vehicle trying to break into it than I would be dead.
That's it. Right. It's the canister in itself.
Food through a straw for the rest of my life, you know?
Right.
Or what's the old saying? I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. There is a point where my personal protection is more important. But on that note, like, is there any kind of, like, safety mechanism on the canisters or something like that? Like, you really wouldn't want to accidentally bump it when you got pulled over by a cop. Yeah. They're probably not.
So it comes with a pin. So you see that?
Yeah.
So you got to pull the pin anyways.
Okay. Boom.
Pull the pin. Then you got to break the little. There's a little plastic knobby on the top. So you got to press that down.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's you got to pull the pin before it works. So,
and if you do use it, put the pin back in. You know, you can put the pin back in after use.
Yeah. If you've sprayed 3 second bursts and everybody's out of the way, man, just get out of there, put the pin back in, and you're good. You still have a lot of OC left.
Great. So, my next question from AI. What are early users saying about your product, and how is that shaping its development?
Great question, because it has. My product has changed considerably in 5 years to where we're at now, and you know, in the past the year, even in this past year, we've changed. So, and you know, Bo has done a lot of research and development out in Idaho to get the RV Defend the way it is now. So. We've listened to customers saying, hey, that puck doesn't work very well because my original one was just looked like a hockey puck with a magnet and you put it on your roof. And so we evolved from that and just kind of listening to what. And then we have next generation. Well, we have a full line of products, even 3 and 4 and 5 years down the road that we're looking at bringing to market. So, you know, from remote control to, you know, you name it. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming.
Yeah.
Very cool. Bo, you want to add anything to that, or do you want the other robot question?
I'll take the other robot question.
I think it's the easy one.
No, you both get this one. This is the fun one, okay? You can both answer this. And it's funny because I was thinking this is very James Bond-like. So the fun question is, what would you build if you had a James Bond gadget budget for product development? You had a blue sky budget, and then you could build anything you want as your next gen product. What would it be?
So the goal would be that we have a manifold that lines come off of that will be able to be installed. It's very aesthetically pleasing. The optics of it will be very symmetrical. And it'll be sprayers along the side, the top of the vehicle that allow you to spray down, you know, in mass, right? So clearing the entire perimeter, but downwards over the vehicle, especially you have an issue with height of vehicles. I've got 6 kids. I've got a 12 passenger van, 4x4. It's up pretty high. You know, the roof is up, 9 feet, right? And that's not even a Sprinter van. And then you've got your Sprinter vans that can be up at 11 feet. The fin's not really a productive item for those because it's up too high and it's spraying out, then it has to drop down. And so really I'm looking at how do we cover higher vehicles? How do we cover, you know, the cargo areas of vehicles? And so it's all based on electronic pumps built into a manifold that allow for mass dispersion around the vehicle.
So it would disperse more like one of those sprinklers that does the back and forth thing, like just coat it hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. You got anything to add there, Michael?
Oh yeah, man, my brain, I can wake up in the middle of the night with a whiteboard. So I came up with a drone a couple of years ago to help law enforcement. And what this does is, because I used to do, you know, skirmish lines, you know, I was the, I was the chemical guy in the middle, you know, I did a lot of riots. So what I came up with was it's a 4-foot wingspan drone that you could launch anywhere a police department. But it's kind of like a crop duster. So
this guy's a crop dusting OC tool.
So it's kind of like a crop duster. And you can't. I bought one. I have a prototype of it.
Okay.
So I want to build on that thing. So what I want to do is I want cops to be able to use this thing before the skirmish line, right? So you got a whole crowd of people over here.
Yeah.
You bring this drone in, and now you're herding cattle. You're bringing the drone, and you're herding cattle, my man.
I don't know if you're herding cattle. I think you'll have 2,000 people on their knees.
Well, you threatened that spray, of course.
Clear the area.
It has a PA system, and it has a video. So, and it holds a gallon of OC in the back. So the payload with the battery and everything was about 12 pounds. It was pretty heavy.
That is cool. Why do I want to make the drone look like a World War II era P-51 Mustang? Why is that that's the only thing in my head now is with the flames in the teeth and everything, and just with the sound effect. Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah.
Even it won't do it, but you just have a speaker in it that sounds like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, instead of smoke coming out the back, you got red juice coming out the front.
That's a great visual.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would sell. so that's what we would do with the James Bond budget. So now we've done the robot questions. Let's do some audience questions and comments. Lean Jane says, have there been issues with hot vehicles and the pepper spray exploding or degrading?
So the pepper spray canister, it actually will not explode. The propellant that's inside of it is currently an R134 propellant, which is a refrigerant, and it is more likely to escape the canister than it is to expand the steel canister. Okay, so expansion and explosions, not really a thing, but what you will experience when you leave a canister in your vehicle over the 120 degree mark is that gas escapes, and now when you do need to use it, because you may have left it in a vehicle that was too hot for it, you go to use it and it's a dud.
Okay. So that would be something that you need to take some mitigating.
Take it in. Yeah, you can take it in and out of your vehicle. You know,
yeah, it's seconds to disconnect. I saw.
Yeah, it's got a disconnect. So, you know, bring it in. I tested it out in Tucson in the middle of the desert. I live in Maine at 100, you know, minus 10 degrees.
Yeah.
And I kept it in just for that purpose, is to check it. And it's, nothing's exploded. But keep
it in. Here in Texas, you hit 120 internal vehicle temperature.
Oh, shoot. It's 200.
We had 8 months a year that shit happens.
Yeah, that's 300 degrees inside. Yeah, I was down at the Border Patrol, and they wanted to do a test. So, yeah, it won't explode.
Okay. So Charles, who the humble mechanic, who is a lifelong mechanic, so he has some vehicle-based questions. How do you account for cars or SUVs with sunroofs? Any data on crashes for canister hold in event of collision? He's got three. And this is intended to be a forever install. Is this intended to be a forever install?
I'll defer to DeBo on that because he's got the install.
Okay.
Sure. So the install for sunroofs is a really great question because there's a lot of people that have them. And what you would do is you would install it most likely to the rear behind. If a lot of times these days, you know, we used to have where the sunroof came up over. But now it goes inside the vehicle. So you could mount it, although it still goes back, you would need to mount it to the rear of where the window comes into. And so you're still covering the, now if you're talking, if you got windows like your Tesla, truck where they go all the way back, you're SOL.
Yeah.
If you got, you know, long double glass, you're SOL. You know, this is obviously going to be specific to your roof, and it has to be applicable to the situation. So, you know, in some given situations, you may just not be able to have the unit. And again, that is where I would like to move into discharge nozzles on the top sides of the vehicle that allow for more versatile applications.
But I have an internal code name for them. I wouldn't use it for your outdoor marketing, though. People painters.
I like it. Yes.
Oh, man. What about the question on, like, Rex? From the way I saw the safety mechanisms on that canister, it would seem, I mean, a lot of people carry fire extinguishers in their vehicle. It seems at least as safe as that.
The canister holder is actually designed specifically for the use and abuse of being attached for a fire extinguisher or other utilities for a UTV, right? It is highly rubberized. You're able to strap it down very tightly. When you are applying it to either the headliner or some plastic surface in your vehicle, depending on where you're installing it, right? Because there's two different models. There's the one that is basically the direct below the fin, which is going to be the a little less expensive model, and then the 8-foot extension model, which has 8 feet of tubing that allows you to install it further away. You're going to be able to install it on some plastic surface inside your vehicle, all of which come with a what's called a pop toggle wall anchor, and it allows for the installation of a 1/8 to 1/4 inch thick wall. So you're going to get a very, very tight, secure mount. It's going to have 3 screws mounting that system to anywhere in your vehicle. So headliner, it's going to be very safe. Down below, it's going to be very safe. And I actually want to touch base where you said, you know, where would it, if you're mounting it further away from your moonroof, we have an additional fitting that goes on. You're going to pull your roof liner down, and you're going to put a fitting on that allows you to run parallel to the roof liner, in between the roof liner and the roof, to then coming down your A pillar or, you know, down the side pillar, whatever it might be. Given, again, the design of every vehicle is going to be different, and you're going to have to understand, you know, your side curtain airbags and so on and so forth. But
yeah. Gotcha. Mauser K98 asked, and we've kind of hit this already, there are vehicles that if they're tall enough, this may be not optimum. And he's asking like a 15-passenger Sprinter van with a
high. Yeah, it's going to be a little too high. You know, that's the reality of the situation right now. I mean, you can mount it up there, and what's going to happen is it's naturally going to come down. It is heavier than air. It does atomize. It does cover. It's going to shoot outwards, yeah. And it is going to atomize all over in the air. Like with the RV Defend, when we tested it at the dealership, when we installed it, it sprays down a 4-foot by 4-foot pattern over top of your door. But when I walked outside, there was a solid 30-foot area where you could see, because it was a bright sunny day, you could see it atomized in the air. It was a huge area. So you're still going to get coverage. But it's going to be a soft, irritating burn as opposed to the dropping you to your knees, direct into your eyes type of burn, right?
Yeah. You might need 2 canisters. Just keep it. You can swap them out. And then I'm Your Huckleberry says, what's the price? I'm sure it's variable because you have different solutions, but around 400, something in that range.
Yeah, it's a $479 for the bottom line model, and but for your subscribers, there is a code that we are providing, which is going to be the Survival 25, giving your subscribers the 25% off that unit.
Oh, okay, all right. Let's talk now. We got one more, and I can let you guys go. Hey, Alabama, what's the ramifications of hitting bystanders?
Mm.
This is a good reason it's not a gun.
Yeah, no, it's
sorry. Oops.
No, that's a good question, and that's precisely why I'm using pepper spray. Because even if the bystanders do get hit, it's not lethal, and you know, they're gonna go wash their eyes, and they're not. If the bystanders are 20 feet, 30 feet away from you, they're not going to get the initial hit, right?
Yeah, so, you get that little overspray that you're like, and
immediately you start going away. Like, so that's what you
well,
do.
Yeah, if you're a bystander and you're innocent, you should be running away as soon as you know, some of that stuff hits the fan. So
yeah, as soon as you see all the other people doing this, like, that's your clue. Right?
You know, I would say, you know, in that question, thinking of a good example would be if you are in the RV Defend, right, you're in a campground and you do use it, the wind carries it, and somebody could be sitting around the fire, you know, a few camp spots away, down the, you know, a few rows away, and they feel the effects of it. There are people that can be Sioux happy, right? We know this of today's world. So the reality is, are you in a state that allows it? If you're in a state that allows it because of the size of the canister, if you're in California and they only allow 2 ounces and you're carrying 16, was it worth the trouble to discharge that? Right. It really needs to be worth the trouble to discharge it. If it's just somebody that, you know, is banging at your door because they were upset about your loud music.
Yeah.
Probably don't use it. If it's somebody that followed you back.
Right. Don't do it on the door to door salesman. Right. Exactly. Don't be spraying the Girl Scouts trying to sell you cookies to defend your diet. Like, I get the humor in all of that, but let's not do that. Because you'd be the magazine sales scam, but don't. That's not what it's
don't,
for.
Don't spray anything that you don't feel threatened.
Yeah.
If
there's an immediate or imminent danger where somebody followed you and they, you know, were batting on your window for you to open up, there may be relevant reason to use it. They could break that window and they could enter into your domain, whatever your domain might be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, tell everybody how to find out more about you.
Oh, man. Go to f3defense.com. We're on LinkedIn. I have a Facebook page. I have a YouTube channel called F3 Defense Freedom from Fear. So we are out there. We're ready to take orders. Bo just finished up the website this morning.
Yeah, give us time. If there's any kinks, we'll work them out. We've had to move from a certain platform that their policy didn't allow weapons, and believe it or not, they consider this to be a weapon. So we are now on a web hosting platform. Had to recreate literally over the 4th of July weekend an entire new website, which has taken a lot of work. So please give us have patience for us. If things aren't working for you. I think right now we're working on the shipping end of things, getting it all connected. So give us a little bit. We are working through the kinks, but we'll have it up and running for you guys to be able to purchase the item if you would like.
All right. For everybody that's watching this right now, it'll be about 30, 40 minutes after the fact. There'll be the audio version will go up. Their links to their website, all their social media, everything like that will be in the audio notes. Right down there in the video notes, there's a link. You can click. It'll take you over to the audio side. If you do it right now, there's always a special person. It doesn't work. We're not done yet. When we're done, I'll generate the audio side. If you're watching it after the stream ends, it's probably there now. And if you're listening to us on the audio, which is like 1,000 to 1 on the consumption side, then you just come by and get today's episode, 3700. If you're listening to it in the future, just stick 3700 in the search bar and you'll find this episode and you can get all the notes. Guys, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So much.
All right, guys, real quick, I want to wrap up and remind you, if you want to support this show and the work that we do, the absolute best way to do that is to join the Members Support Brigade. If you do that, you get exclusive discounts available only to members. We have about 70 to 80 supporting vendors now. I just saw a comment in one of the Telegram groups yesterday that a gentleman named Eric said he just got he paid for his membership for 3 years using the discount code for one vendor one time. So it is a really great program. The other thing you can do is your online shopping starting at tspaz.com. That's T-S-P-A-Z, tspaz.com. Whenever you pick up anything from Amazon or Vivor, if you start there, you help us no matter what you do. But today's item of the day is a unique one. You guys have heard me talk about my background a lot over the years, especially when we talk about business and technology. And I had a really good friend that was part of the whole blow up of broadcast.com named Patrick Seaman. back at this time. It turns out, I was working on my new book this week, and I was mentioning him, and I'm like, I want to get the timeline right here. I don't want to say something about somebody else and be wrong about it. And so I checked into some things, and I found out he has a new book out called Streaming Wars. And this is a really unique book. It's like a history documentary of recent technology development, you know, over 30 years, plus a business book, because there's all types of components in it about how they actually built that business and everything that's happened in the streaming industry since. And you'll learn things like Yahoo's a bunch of idiots, right? They have the right name. They're a bunch of Yahoos. Because when they bought this company for $5 billion, they could have owned the streaming market. People think broadcast was just some kind of dot-com scam or something because Yahoo messed it up. You know, they were the first person that ever streamed a Super Bowl. They did point to multi-point to 500,000 subscribers over dial-up. That's the kind of innovation that this company had. So if you like those documentaries like the 90s, the last great decade or whatever, where you see your own history, then you're going to dig this. If you like technology, you're going to dig this. And if you like business and kind of a treatise on how to build a business, because this thing started with three people. Patrick was the first official employee. There's even stories in this about how he used to have to break into Mark Cuban's house to reboot servers when they were really just getting started. And here's a hint. It was Mark's brother's fault that he had to break in, but he had to do it multiple times. Anyway, check it out. It's called Streaming Wars by Patrick Seaman. And I haven't talked to Patrick in a long time, but I think about maybe getting him on the air because this would be not really in our wheelhouse, but yet kind of is because we teach a lot about business development here as well, because that's a huge part of lifestyle design. With that anyway, thanks for tuning in today. And a real quick announcement. I usually do these interviews on Wednesdays. I had to do this on Tuesday because I had to work these guys in because I wanted them on the show as fast as possible. We were already booking into September when I booked them. So we worked them in. I also have Jeff Lawton this week. He's in Australia. When it's like 5 o'clock here, it's 7 a.m. there. So I have two live streams today. I'll be live again today at, I think it's 4 p.m. Central time. I'll have Jeff on. The live I'm going to run today as a live stream. Otherwise it wouldn't happen. I'll run the podcast version of it for tomorrow's show. So if you got two streams in, you tune in to hear number one permaculturist in the world, Jeff Lawton, today, talk about permaculture with some updates with modern technology built into it. Thank you guys, and hopefully I'll see you around 4 o'clock today.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a bed.